So I was going to say that one of the gifts of this psalm is this image. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer. Last week we talked about that question of what nourishes us. And this sounds a little bit like it's answering that question in a different way. It's describing this experience of thirst, of emptiness, of lack. But rather than being about missing something, in this case, it's about the presence of something. The presence of, in the language of the psalmist, sin. Or in language we might use more often, guilt. Now, in the church, we tend to talk about sin all the time that we're talking about guilt. Oh, I know. Yeah, both Mummy and Neil have a bit of a cold right now, so we're not feeling 100%. You want to go to Papa? There we go. That was just your audible representation of groaning all day long. That feeling of carrying guilt. So often in the church, we talk about sin when we're talking about guilt. And one of the problems in the church is that an association of guilt and sin sometimes has gone in the way of conversations about anything else that it means to live a full and a whole life. But just because sometimes that conversation gets in the way and seems to be everything that we talk about, doesn't mean that we should never talk about it. Because by ignoring something, it doesn't just go away. It stays there. And we don't have the language and the thought to deal with it in our own lives. And so we're left with this image of our bones withering away, of groaning all day long, of feeling dried up like the heat of summer. So whenever we talk about sin, we have to remind ourselves of what we're really saying. And I'm going to say today that while there are many different ways we can think about sin, it's useful to think about sin as separation, as what separates us from God, God within ourselves, God within others, God within creation. Sin is what separates us, what keeps us from connecting with the divine. And forgiveness, turning, is what reconnects us, reminds us of our connection to the divine. So let's hold on to that idea of sin as separation. And this speaks to this larger question of what nourishes us, because that's about connection. Now, the second thing I want to make sure we talk about a little bit as we're talking about guilt is the difference between guilt and shame. Because once again, often we don't distinguish between guilt and shame. During my week of study leave in January, I did a lot of reading, and one of the books that I read was this book by Brené Brown called The Gifts of Imperfection. Brené Brown, for those of you who don't know, is a shame researcher. That's primarily at least where she started out, and it's led her in different directions about thinking about how to live a whole life. But she started with this question of what is shame? And so she says, shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. She She says, shame keeps worthiness away by convincing us that owning our stories will lead to people thinking less of us. Shame is all about fear. We're afraid that people won't like us if they know the truth about who we are, where we come from, what we believe, how much we're struggling, or, believe it or not, how wonderful we are when soaring. Sometimes it's just as hard to own our own strengths as our struggles. Shame is something we all experience. And while it feels as if shame hides in our darkest corners, it actually tends to lurk in all of the familiar places, including appearance and body image, family, parenting, money and work, health, addiction, sex, aging, and religion. To feel shame is to be human. So she's saying that this is something that we all experience. It's a common experience. But that shame is speaking to our sense of our self-worth. And it immobilizes us because of our shame, because of our embarrassment, because of our fear of what others will say and think about us, into not taking action, into not being honest about who we are. So what is the difference between shame and guilt? It's nice and short, so it's easy to remember. It's the difference between I am bad and I did something bad. Guilt is about the action. I did something bad. Shame is about the identity. I am bad. And while shame paralyzes us, it immobilizes us, it keeps us locked in fear, guilt is the opportunity to move forward, to learn, to grow, to change. So if we think of guilt as about action, it's unlikely that any of us would claim that we've been free of guilt in our whole lives, that we've never done something wrong or harmful or that we regret. More often, we can think of too many instances. But if we take that as our starting point, and if we remember that idea, that sin is separation, then we're left with the question of what do we then do with the guilt and the separation that we experience? And once again, the psalm offers an answer. Remember, we're using psalm language here. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions. So when we recognize what we've done wrong, rather than hiding it, we acknowledge it, and we apologize for it. We are able to move forward. We are able to learn and grow as a result. And we move away from that pain, that groaning, that consumption, to new possibilities. We move away from that state of separation to new connections. Which brings us to forgiveness. And there's a lot of different things that we can say about forgiveness, and of course I can't say them all now. But there are a lot of different ways that forgiveness can happen or that forgiveness is important. And so in the language of the psalm, forgiveness is something offered freely by God. Forgiveness isn't something that's withheld, but once we recognize what we have done wrong, we receive forgiveness for it. So we start there, and then we say, when we're talking about God, when we're talking about separation and God, we remember that we're talking about God within. God within us, God within others, and God within the world. so that forgiveness that we seek can take three forms. In vague terms, three forms. Self-forgiveness. Forgiveness of others, whether it's our forgiveness of them or theirs of us, and forgiveness in a broader sense, in relationship to the wider world, to the wider creation. Self-forgiveness are the times when we're aware of some harm that we've done, and there's no way to seek forgiveness elsewhere. Perhaps the person no longer will talk to us, or perhaps they've died or moved away. Or perhaps it's not directed at one person, but some action we're aware has caused harm, even though we can't reach out to those people. Or perhaps it's a time when we've caused harm to ourselves, when we've created separation and division within ourselves, and we need connection instead. I want to add that forgiveness is not about saying, it didn't matter. That's fine. It's not about pretending that something wasn't significant. And forgiveness isn't going back to the way things were, as if we're just forgetting something happened and nothing has changed. It's not about saying that was fine after all, but instead saying there's an opportunity to grow, to become more than this hurt, to become stronger than this separation. It's not an easy task, forgiving someone else or asking someone else for forgiveness. But it is one that's about seeking out God, about reminding ourselves that we don't exist in isolation and in separation, but in connection with one another. And that although part of what it means to be human beings is to get things wrong again and again and again, that is not our identity. That is not who we are, bound by shame. That's part of what we do, part of how we learn, part of how we become better, change our actions, soften our words, continue to become and to be able to do more. I had a supervisor who once told me that he thought parables should never be preached on. That it's like a good joke. If you have to explain it, you spoil it. So I won't tell you about what the prodigal son means. You can laugh over it later. And you can figure out all the times that you're each of those people, and all the ways separation and connection happen within that story. Instead, we'll turn together to that last category of forgiveness, the one that relates not to an individual or to ourselves, but to something larger, to the way the world works. Because we remember that forgiveness is not about saying, it's okay, it should stay the same. Forgiveness is about recognizing what is wrong, letting go of the way that has consumed us, and then finding new opportunities for connection, new opportunities for love going forward.